May it please the court. My name is Phil Gephardt, and I'm here today representing KSSO, the tax sale purchaser in this matter. Based upon the current state of the case law, it is extremely difficult, if not impossible, to properly draft a notice of tax sale redemption rights from a first or second offering tax sale under the Jones-Munger Act that fully complies with all of the appellate opinions interpreting the Jones-Munger Act that have been issued in Missouri. There is disagreement among the districts of the Court of Appeals as to the required content and timing of the notices of tax sale redemption rights. Also, there is a conflict between this court's interpretation of the original provisions of the Jones-Munger Act enacted in 1933 as to the duration of the right of redemption. This court, in five separate opinions, beginning in Hobson versus Elmer, the Bullock decision, the Marburger decision, the Wetmore decision, and the Strom decision, all decided that the time period specified in what is currently codified in subsection 1 of section 140.340, which is currently 1 year, was not the maximum redemption period, but was a minimum redemption period. And that is in conflict with at least three Missouri Court of Appeals opinions from the Eastern District dating from 2009. At its core, this case is one of statutory construction. And one of the rules of statutory construction is to try to harmonize conflicting, contradictory provisions to the extent possible. And I think that is the charge that's put before this court. And that is what the court did in the Hobson decision in 1942. The original enactment of the Jones-Munger Act has admittedly conflicting provisions. And in 1942, this court construed those provisions to provide that there is a minimum redemption period that's specified in what is now codified in subsection 1 of section 140.340, and that thereafter a delinquent taxpayer or other interested parties continue to have a right of redemption up until the time the tax sale purchaser is authorized to acquire the collector's deed, or until the tax sale certificate expires under what is now codified in subsection 140.410, which is currently a 2 year period.
And if I'm correct, it's in this case, because I know these two have similar briefs, but opposing counsel says authorized means first authorized, and you say it means until they have all the papers they need to have?
Yes, Your Honor. I believe that that is a reference to a provision in section 140.405, which is the notice provision of the Jones-Munger Act. It was first enacted in 1984. And as part of the original enactment, it has the words, at least 90 days prior to the date when a purchaser is authorized to acquire the deed. And I believe that opposing counsel argues that that means when they're first authorized to acquire the deed. I believe that this language is a direct reference to the Hobson decision and the Hobson line of decisions, which state that the right of redemption continues after the minimum redemption period up until the time the tax sale purchaser is authorized to acquire the deed.
And what does Hobson say you have to do to be authorized to acquire the deed?
Well, there is a statute that requires the payment of the subsequent taxes. There's a statute that requires tendering recording fees. There's a statute that requires a surrender of the certificate of purchase, which is issued for first or second offering delinquent tax sales. And now there are other requirements that have been enacted since Hobson was decided. The most important one would be the noticing provisions.
Thank you.
I believe that there is one way to analyze these conflicting provisions, and that the key to that is history. sometimes things are the way they are because of the way they've been. And if you don't know the history behind the statutes, it's very hard to interpret them. For example, this language that I just quoted, the date when the purchaser is authorized to acquire the deed. If you know the history of the statute, you can look at Hobson and that's what that must be a reference to. I don't know what else it could be other than a reference to the Hobson line of decisions. The case that embodies this historical interpretation of the statutes best is the United Asset Management Trust Company case out of the Western District. That case follows this court's opinion in Hobson and follows the Hobson line of decisions. And that case also, I believe, correctly interprets what due process requires in terms of providing a notice of tax sale redemption rights for constitutional purposes.
I think opposing counsel and people taking that position in both cases say that that allows the purchaser to control the time period, and it's varying. There's no exact time, and it's harder for people to plan because there's no definite time by which they have to redeem. It has to depend on when the notice is sent out and when other things are done, and the statute should require more, be interpreted to require more definiteness.
Well, you all like more definiteness in this area of law. But for example, the tax sale purchaser doesn't control when they're authorized to acquire the deed. Under the Sherlith case from this court and the Jones versus Flower decision, once we get a bounce back from a certified mail notice, we're required by the Constitution, and now under the recently enacted 2010 amendments to Section 14405, we're required to take additional reasonable steps to make sure that the notice is provided. So it is sometimes difficult to know when you are authorized to acquire, when you're done noticing, when you're authorized to acquire the deed, and putting a lesser time period on it. It seems to me strange that a representative of tax sale purchasers is arguing for a longer redemption period for delinquent taxpayers in this case. But that historically has been the way the statute's been interpreted. That's the way the collectors have been administering the statute. The collector in this case issued the collector's deed more than 1 year after the tax auction. And believe it or not, the collectors were following the Hobson line of cases. And every collector that I've dealt with in every county, it's been four or five or six counties, they all have followed Hobson.
And why does opposing counsel think that that doesn't state the law, that the Hobson rule is not, in fact, the rule?
Because there are three cases from the Eastern District, the Keeling case, the Haynes case, and the Isan case, that state differently.
So it's a matter of general policy, you know, outside of what's going on in your case, although I know it's probably hard to divorce yourself from your facts, what's the best policy?
I think the best policy would be to allow the tax sale purchaser to take whatever actions are necessary to determine that they're authorized to acquire the collector's deed, that they're ready, they've done everything that they're required by the law to do.
That gives the purchaser in the driver's seat.
Excuse me?
I'm sorry, that puts the purchaser more in the driver's seat and gives the purchaser more control.
Yes, but I don't think that's uncommon. I'm familiar with the procedures in Illinois, and in obtaining extensions of redemption periods in Illinois is kind of a routine matter. If you're not ready to get the deed, you're not ready to get the deed, and you can obtain an extension in that state to get the deed.
Well, the unusual thing here would be the purchaser, it may be in their control, but it actually gives the person who might want to redeem their property who failed to pay more time under your proposal to try to redeem the property. So it's in the purchaser's interest to do it in an expedited fashion. But if they don't, do I understand you're saying you have a right to redeem up till such time as the as notice is given and the certificate filed?
Well, the right of redemption extends up until the time the tax sale purchase is authorized to acquire the deed, which includes all these steps. Probably less than 10.
So it extends it beyond the year.
It would extend the time that the original owner could redeem beyond 1 year. So
that's the way the statute's been applied ever since I started doing this.
So in effect, a delay is not self-dealing, is what I'm saying.
Excuse me?
Delay is not really self-dealing on the part of the purchaser because it just helps the other one.
It gives the delinquent taxpayer additional time to redeem.
What if applying?
In a perfect world, the shortest time to redeem would be the year. In other words, if the purchaser had done everything to acquire the deed more than 90 days before the time that a year run and they did their notice appropriately, then the statute might actually mean what it says. But if it takes any more time to do it right, whether required by the Constitution or other statutes, then you just give them the benefit of more time because that's what it took to give them proper notice or whatever other circumstances there were to make sure that you had an appropriate title.
That's correct, Your Honor. And I would note that the practical effect of the Eason, Keeling, and Haynes cases is that we now process these files so that the minimum redemption period is the maximum redemption period, because that's the only way that you can be sure at this point in time with the conflicting opinions that you're going to be providing timely notice. So the effect of these cases is to actually shorten redemption periods.
Can you apply your analysis to these facts? Opposing counsel says you lose regardless, right? Or no? I mean, tell me why you win under your approach.
Well, there was more than 90 days from the date that the notice letter was sent.
What did your notice letter say? Was it accurate?
Yes, I believe it was accurate. It said that you have at least 90 days to redeem, and it even says that you may have more time than 90 days to redeem. And that, I believe, is an accurate statement of law, at least prior to the Valley decision and prior to the Eastern District decisions. I see that my time is precluded. I'll surrender the balance of it. Thank you.
May it please the Court, Elizabeth Thompson on behalf of the respondents. The notice in this case actually was very inaccurate, I would argue. It did, in fact, inform the respondents that they did have at least 90 days from the date of the letter to redeem the property, which is not the standard under any interpretation of the law that I'm aware of.
What made it inaccurate?
The 90-day word, and the Eastern District has held generally that using any type of 90-day wording is inaccurate and misleading because 90 days is the actual redemption period for a third offering tax sale. And although they hold 1 year, I mean, the 90 days that's referenced in 144.05 is really the minimum mailing time. And I think that's another point because when opposing counsel is talking about, you know, we only have a certain amount of time to do things, the requirement in 140.405 isn't mail the notice 90 days prior to the period.
But it's the language in the letter that says suggested that he may that the tax delinquent taxpayer might have more time. Isn't it incumbent upon them to look at the statute to determine whether or not there's more time?
I believe if they had looked at the statute, they would have believed that 1 year was the redemption time frame because that's pretty much what's stated.
Well, I understand, and you're going to separately argue why you think 1 year is it, and that's
yes,
the only time you
correct.
Have. But if we disagreed with that under his first argument and thought you had that's the minimum time, not the maximum time, if he's correct in that, what's wrong with his notice?
Well,
or
the
is
final
his notice
piece,
accurate
the final piece of it, he did tell them that in the end that they had up until the collector's deed was actually recorded, which is not the standard. And then they had
what is the standard?
Until the tax certificate is actually tendered and the collector's deed is issued. There was about a month gap between the date that the collector's deed was issued and it was recorded. And there's a subsequent paragraph in the letter that says that you have up until the time the deed is recorded. And then they also attached a copy of section 140.405 that had the third sale redemption wording bracketed. And
now,
that, I would believe, is misleading.
Now, what's the effect? I mean, if they violated the notice of the redemption notice out until after a year, does the owner keep the land because they don't have the right of redemption?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
Does the owner of the land keep the land then if the notice is inaccurate or beyond the one-year time?
The statute basically says that if there's failure to comply with the notice provisions of 140-405, the tax sale purchaser loses all interest in the property. And I think that's the issue that we're obviously dealing with, is what's the correct notice and what's the content and what's the timing, because a lot of it really
is. So it would be wrong to say your right to redeem ends in a year, because, in fact, if nothing happens between year one and year two, it goes back to the owner then, right?
At the end of year two.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want to go back
to that.
That
would be inaccurate, too.
I'm sorry. I want to go back to your complaint about the content of the notice not being accurate. Mm-hmm. I know it relates to the first paragraph. It talks about your opportunity will be available for a period for redemption of not less than 90 days. And in the second paragraph, it clearly says, but it is possible the period of redemption may exceed 90 days. So doesn't that give enough wiggle room, in addition to citing the statute, to put the owner on notice of what their rights might be?
I think it just becomes so vague that it would be hard to tell. And again, I think that the average taxpayer, and I'm using the word taxpayer instead of delinquent taxpayer, because every cent of these taxes was actually paid to the mortgagee, which was IndyMac Bank, and then because of an error in the deed of trust, IndyMac actually paid the taxes on the wrong property, which is what caused this whole case to come here. But I think that basically the notice just becomes so vague that it would be hard to tell, and then if you were to look at the statute, as a taxpayer, you would say, okay, well, I have 1 year. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay. I just think this argument somewhat counterintuitive, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That the purchaser is arguing that the owner has longer to redeem, and on behalf of the owner, you're arguing you have only 1 year and they have to start their notice process early enough that mm-hmm. whatever mail gets returned and so forth, it's done by the 1 year date?
It is, and I remember mentioning that in front of the Court of Appeals, because I think they took somewhat of a similar view of that. My concern is that the statute has to provide certainty, and when we have a time frame for redemption that's really not, that could be at any time, and I mean, I think that's one of the things that I find somewhat disturbing about the United Asset Management case, is that we've moved off of the wording authorized to acquire the deed to just saying it's the date whenever the tax sale purchaser elects to acquire the deed, which is basically saying it's that person's choice completely. In many cases, as in this case,
if they meant the 1 year, why didn't they say you have the one year mm-hmm. from the date of the tax sale? That's a lot easier than saying mm-hmm. authorized to acquire the deed or anything else.
The only thing I can say is that the first sentence of 140-405 does directly reference 140-420, which basically says that at the end of that 1 year, if no one has redeemed, at that point the tax sale purchaser is authorized to acquire the deed.
It is allowed to, but it doesn't mm-hmm. say you can. I mean, in effect, you may have a year period where nobody can do anything. That property just sits vacant because you're saying you have no longer have any right to redeem, but the purchaser hadn't yet taken it. Could be a year later they don't for whatever reason, and it's just sat there for a year and then goes back to the owner. Is that a logical way to interpret the statute to allow that?
It isn't, but I think the concern is that the one-year redemption period is stated numerous times throughout the statute. I mean, 143.40.1 specifically says you have from 1 year next ensuing from the sale date to redeem the property. There are various references to the one-year right of redemption.
Now, procedurally, the taxpayer, the person who purchases the property, mm-hmm. do they pay money to the county or the collector for the taxes? Do they get their money back if they don't redeem? I mean, if this doesn't work out, do they get their money back for the taxes? What happens?
Does the tax sale purchaser?
Yeah. What happens to the money? Do they have to put
If the deed just expires?
Yes.
That I'm not sure of.
So would they?
They lose it.
The conflict between the Court of Appeals districts, is part of that conflict that the Eastern District says you have to, in your notice, tell them the exact time they have in which to redeem, where the Western District says you have to notify them of a right to redeem, but they don't require that, they just are notified that they have a right to redeem under it, and then they have some obligation on their own to figure out what it is. Is that part of the conflict between the two decisions?
Yes, it is.
So your argument is based on the fact that you believe the notice absolutely has to specify exactly the period of the right to redeem.
Yes, and I believe the Eastern District in this case, in its opinion, basically was very accurate when they stated to Mullane in this court's holdings in Schwartz versus Day that actually the requirement of notice is that you have to notify the parties of the pendency of the action, not just the existence. And they did distinguish between a number of the cases that were cited in United Asset Management when they were basically saying that this implies that there has to be some type of time for notice to be meaningful.
And so what language in the notice statute requires that the specific period of notice be, you know, the period of redemption, the exact accurate period of redemption be in the notice?
The statute itself does not require that on its face.
And as a policy matter, clearly if we require that they not just notify them of a right to redeem under the statute, but instead have to tell them the exact amount of the period of redemption, doesn't that open the process up to all kinds of challenges? And isn't it enough under the statute that they're alerted that this is going on, and they then will have their own obligation to figure out what their period of redemption is?
I think given the current state of the case law, no, because I think if anybody were, if I had received a notice saying your property's been sold, you have a right to redeem, go look at the statutes and see what your rights are, you know, if I hadn't been to law school and didn't understand, I would just pull cases, I would read the statute.
In this case, the actual copy of the statute was furnished. It was
correct.
Attached. So that wouldn't be like you had to, you know, do any Westlaw check or grab a...
And I believe the taxpayers had, you know, had they looked at it, would have looked at it and seen the wording relating to third sale wording.
Counsel, but you don't normally have to advise the opposing side of the law. And didn't Mullane v. Hanover Trust say you don't have to give them the details of dates, you don't have to give them the details of their rights, you just have to give them notice, and it's up to them to go look and do their own research and figure things out? That may not be the best way, but we're talking about if the Constitution doesn't require it, due process doesn't, and the statute doesn't require it, what's the basis of this court requiring it if it's not in the Constitution or statutes?
I think, again, as the Eastern District stated, it's a fairly significant property right. You're losing a piece of property.
Well, I understand why it would be a good plan.
Isn't it better to tell them they have a right than to risk telling them that they have a telling them something that's wrong, in the sense that if they're trying to comply with constitutional notice, I mean, presumably this you might have to just keep sending rights to redeem, and it may be that at some point in time somebody actually received actual notice. They'd have to admit that they received actual notice, and therefore their redemption period would be shortened. Why does it make sense to put the onus on the purchaser to give the dates?
I just think from a due process standpoint, they're in the best position, you know, again,
it would be better to tell them the shortest time always, because then presumably if they wanted to keep their property, they'd get in there within a year. You know, your fear is that, well, gosh, they would read the right to redeem and it would say they have to do it in a year. Well, really the best thing for them would be that they thought they had to do it in a year, because that's the shortest time. So if they were going to redeem, that they would get in there, or if not, figure out that there was some mistake, that they thought they had paid their tax bill, but it hadn't. At least if they get notice that's shorter, there's a better chance that wrongful sales will be nipped in the bud, as opposed to the other way around.
But in a sense, and especially in a case like this where the notice was sent after that one-year redemption period, it basically converted it to a 90-day redemption period, because the notice was sent and they were just told you have 90 days from the date of this notice.
Now analogously, looking at it, we had several cases, I think when Judge Russell joined the court, we went back and forth a little bit on this, on the mortgage, on clearing a mortgage. If you paid off the mortgage, they were supposed to send you a notice and period of title. Mm-hmm. Sending the title to a specific time period. I'm not sure the statute said exactly the word, but I think ultimately we said it had to be exact notice, and with it, if you didn't get a clear title, it was like a 10% penalty on the face value of the mortgage, and it was a heavy penalty. And similarly, on employment rights, employment letters, there was a how did we interpret those to be strict? Because there were notice requirements on employment. If you got fired, you were supposed to send a letter to the
service letter,
exactly right, service letter, and they had to comply with that exactly, or you got some penalties. Is this a similar kind of statute? Do those statutes say it has to be complied with exactly, or just assume that through the law? Service letters and the mortgage,
The deed release?
Right, the title.
Yes, I believe it does have to be complied with strictly. I mean, again, you're taking someone's property.
Do those statutes say that specifically?
The statute, well, 144.05 does, in the sense that if you don't comply with the provisions, and there's case law that basically says that we're interpreting these statutes strictly.
But the service letter, I believe, requires it be sent, that reference be made to the statute. I think the case of the lien release, the statute doesn't say it, but the majority of this court said it required reference to the statute. Here, there's nothing in the language of the content of the notice that even requires reference to the statute by number.
The case law out of the Western District is you're not required to tell them your specific period of redemption. But if there's anything in the letter that is inaccurate, if you misinform them, then the landlord owner has some relief. Is that a correct statement of the Western District cases?
I don't believe it is, because there have, well, United Asset Management seemed to be moving away from that somewhat. In the Stadium West case, the court did say that reliance was not a factor. But in United Asset Management, there's a footnote at the end where they seem to be, the court seemed to be somewhat moving away from that and taking the attitude that maybe if you hadn't received the notice or hadn't, you know, you got it but didn't read it.
You said,
put it in your opposing counsel mentioned a historic context. Well, this was passed in 1933, right in the heart of the Depression. Was it in a historic context? Was it meant to clear title quick? Because I'm sure a lot of people were not paying their taxes and losing their houses. Was the statute there to protect the homeowner, or was it there to protect the people who were trying to take the property?
At that point, arguably, it was doing more to protect the tax sale purchaser, because the notice provisions didn't come into effect until 1984.
Why doesn't Hobson govern? I mean, what's the Court of Appeals doing not following what this court last said in Hobson? Was there a reason they thought that was inapplicable?
A lot of the rationale that has been used a number of times, which, and I agree with opposing counsel having researched this, is not accurate, is that it was a third sale. And at that time, the third sale redemption period was the same.
And the four cases after Hobson that followed it, do you agree? Were they all third sale cases?
Some of them were. The concern I have about the cases that followed Hobson was they were all decided in the 1940s. And in all of those cases, the redemption period was not the central issue in the case. It was basically just mentioned in passing that the person didn't redeem. Even in Hobson, the property was awarded to the tax sale purchaser. So arguably, the discussion of whether or not you could redeem after that, it was 2 years at a time.
And I have one quick final question. You said you think the notice was incorrect because it said you have until the tax sale deed is recorded, not issued. Is that correct?
That and also the bracketed third sale wording.
So that brings a question which you briefly referred to of reliance. Is there any evidence here that made a difference, that the owners would have redeemed it during that period, that up to the time of recordation, and they were misled by that into thinking they had more time than they did?
No, but I don't believe that's the standard.
What is the standard?
The standard is basically, at least in the cases that have come so far, is that it's a strict construction, and that there can be, if there are errors in the notice, reliance is not a requirement. And even Strom versus Bowden says that if you don't redeem, you can still challenge the validity of the tax sale.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any more questions? Thank you. So now with Schlichter and Jones v. Flowers, there is a closer, and in 2010 amendments, there is a closer approximation to actual notice being given to the owner. You could move quicker on it if you give them the 90 days. Isn't a year enough time for the owner, the tax sale purchaser, to take over the property and move the property along? Since they'd be able to send them notice of 90 days.
Well, historically, the way that this worked, Your Honor, is that until the enactment of House Bill 1316 in 2010, there was no provision for the recoupment of noticing cost. So as a result, many tax sale purchasers, rather than incurring that cost, and that cost generally exceeds the amount of the interest earned on the certificate, that creates a loss. So many tax sale purchasers were not, they would wait to see if the delinquent taxpayer would go ahead and redeem without them having to expend the money to do this noticing.
How much does the noticing cost?
Well, there's a title search, there's certified mail costs, there's no, there's a, the fees to prepare the notice, get it mailed, there's posting, there's a notice for posting, and there's a process server fee to post it or to serve the person at the premises. I can give you a range.
Give me a range.
Usually between 500 and I think the record we have in our office is one property we sent 178 letters. Half of those are certified, half of those are regular mail, and that was several thousand dollars too.
Well, we don't require that. We require certified mail, and as restricted, then send the process server. Process server costs $2,500, something like that. It's not a and posting on the property is as long as it's not the mobile home.
Well, I'm just telling you what my experience is. And
but who's setting the cost? Your company's setting the cost.
Excuse me?
Your company is setting how much the costs are. It's not necessarily sending out 178 notices.
Were there multiple owners, I take it? That's why
it was a large developer that had gone under and had left a string of judgment creditors that...
Well, okay, that's that situation.
That, you know... With multiple addresses, and
so
we usually send the attorney the notice along with the judgment creditor, and that's so there is a range.
Can you address this prejudice issue? Was there an error in your statement in the notice that it was until recordation, and is that wrong?
I don't believe that it is wrong. It's the conservative statement that was at that time considered to be correct, because some of the cases that follow Hobson are not as precise in stating the redemption period as Hobson is, and some of them state that they that the redemption period lasts until the recordation. So the conservative position was to say to the recordation, and in those instances in which I've been involved with where someone has attempted to redeem prior to the recordation, I don't usually recommend to the client to challenge it, because there is this case law saying that. As far as the third sale bracketed language in the notice, that historically came from the Valley decision. The Valley decision interpreted the 1998 amendment to Section 14405 as applying to basically all sales. At least that's how it was applied at first. And so if a affidavit of proper notice was filed with the collector of revenue in St. Louis County more than 90 days before the end of the year period, the collector was issuing a collector's deed at 90 days after the
even for a first
affidavit was
sale.
Filed, because that's what the Eastern District said in Valley, mm-hmm. and that's what was being followed. So at that time this notice was sent, that was a concern, and I think that I think that's why it was bracketed, because there was still some concern that that language might apply to first or second offerings.
Discuss the wisdom of the Western District approach versus the Eastern District approach, whether the notice simply needs to give them a notice redeem that they have a right of redemption, or whether the notice should expressly state what the period is in their particular circumstance.
Well, I don't purport to be wise. I can tell you some practical considerations. For one, the notice can never be a self-contained package of all the information needed to redeem the property, because the redemption is made by paying funds to the collector of revenue, and the redemption amount changes day to day based upon the interest charges. So, as a practical matter, unless the delinquent taxpayer goes into the collector's office with a wheelbarrow full of cash, they have to call and make an appointment and set a date that they're going to redeem when they bring their cashier's check or their good funds in to make the redemption and have the certificate of redemption issued. So obviously the notice cannot be a self-contained notice of everything they need to know to
How
redeem.
How about the date? Why can't it? Why wouldn't it be good practice to tell them the date, the final date by which they have to redeem?
Well, again, because under Jones versus Flowers and Shirley, I don't know. If the letters bounce back, there's some investigation that's required to find out if there's a better address. And then, and what happens then is if there is a better address, the whole 90-day period starts over again because we have to give 90 days notice to, at least 90 days notice to all interested parties. So the whole 90-day period starts over again. And it's, I would like to point out a couple of other things. One is that section 144.10 states that the certificate of tax sale purchase expires 2 years after the tax sale. But if this language in section 144.05, at least 90 days prior to the date when the purchaser is authorized to acquire the deed, is interpreted to be 1 year, what that means, I guess logically, is that all the collector's deeds have to be issued in 1 day, 1 year after the tax auction, but the certificates don't expire for another year, which, again, doesn't make a lot of sense. As far as the strict construction argument, I would cite the court to section 145.20, which I believe states that the statute should not be strictly construed. Thank you.
Thank you. This case will be taken under submission.